want to save on the most popular PodNuts products, go to our new page at podnuts.com/deals. And while you're there, get on the PodNuts hot list, where you're going to be sent exclusive weekly deals. You're going to get the latest PodNuts news, so you're in the loop. Welcome to PodNuts Daily, episode number 347. The show for computer repair techs by computer repair techs. This week is no exception. We have on the show Mr. Wise Technician. This is his new nickname. That's what I'm calling him anyway. You guys know him. You've probably seen a lot of him lately. And hopefully he has helped you out a bunch lately with the latest product that was released. Anyway, let me introduce him right now. It's Chris Barry from Technology Adventures, but more importantly, from wisetechnician.com. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, everybody. Yeah, what's going on? Wow, it's been a crazy 2.5 weeks. I moved my family, moved my business.
To Alaska?
to what I call God's country. It's North Vancouver. It's absolutely the most beautiful place in the world. It's where I grew up. And we lived out of town for about 4 years, but I couldn't take it. And I've just been counting down the days until I come back, and now I'm back and I'm super happy, but completely exhausted because moving a business, two children and an entire house in a 2 week time frame is not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
We went, okay, well, let's put our house up for sale now because we want to move in June. 3 days after the house went up for sale, or 4 days, boom, sold. People went, we have to be in by March 15th. And we're like, oh my God. Okay, well, that's pretty fast. So we had 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks to get all our stuff packed, get the heck out of the house, find another place to live because we didn't have a place to live, and move in. So, and you know, run a business, raise a family, all that kind of fun stuff. And, oh yeah, by the way, make some awesome videos.
Yeah, you want to tell us about that? I'll start it off. We might as well start this off now. And this show, we promise, is not going to be one big giant commercial. But Chris is the star of the Wise Technician computer repair videos at wisetechnician.com. If you've heard Chris speak before, that's what you get in this video times like a million, because it's me interviewing Chris, and it's flat out, I'm asking him the things that all the computer repair techs want to know. And you know how Chris's sales techniques are and how superb they are and how much money he brings in. He gives away all the ways that he does that, all his techniques and methods, how he does that. Did I get it right, or what do you want to add to that?
Yeah, it's pretty much me just telling you about the last 15 years of experience that I've built up in sales and retail. And this is my third business I've started. So I have experience in starting a company. The other two were retail locations where they were appliances, actually, which is not the same, but similar, still a service. And so it's just me telling you all about everything I've learned over the past 15 years of retail, of sales, of starting a company, and on doing it all successfully and making a lot of money. And I learned a lot of the stuff that I know from two ways, actually. One was from my father, who was in sales his whole life. So, 30 some odd years and very successful at it. And from a good friend of mine, his name's Sean, and him and me started the appliance business together. And he was probably the best salesman I've ever talked to or met in my life, even up to this day. And, he taught me everything I know, and I just wanted to teach other people. And I got to tell you guys, if it was up to me, this thing would be $129.95. So it's not, it's a lot less.
It is.
And if you haven't bought it yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. But again, as Steve said, we're going to try to make this giant commercial. I'm going to give a few tips here and there on stuff that are on the videos. But yeah, if you haven't bought them, go to it. www.wisetechnician.com, or you can sign up for, go ahead, Steve.
Yes, we offer a discount for anybody who signs up for the PodNuts hot list. You just go to podnuts.com, just type your name and email address in the hot list column on the right hand side there. You can't miss it. It's green right in your face. You will be instantly sent a 20% off link to the videos if you do that. And then you'll also be on the hot list. You get all the latest discounts and weekly news and all that stuff. I have to say one more thing about the videos, because I worked with Chris on these videos. That's hence the Podnuts approved logo on the top right hand column. And I did editing on these videos and you know, sharpened them up and put little music here and there and just did the editing type things. So I had to watch the videos through like three times after I actually did the interview with Chris. So it was always like three times through completely for me. And I'm out of the, I don't even have a computer repair shop right now. But as I'm watching these, every time I'm watching them through, I'm sitting there, I say to myself, oh my God, this stuff is awesome. I'm like, I should have applied this when I had my shop. And I was literally kicking myself every time and thinking to myself, I'm totally happy with this product and it's so worth the money, because if anybody does what Chris says in these videos, you're going to make a boatload of money. You really will. I don't see how anybody cannot double how much they're making right now in their business with these videos. I could be wrong, but that's just my point of view. So, all right, enough about that. Chris, what do you got for us this week?
All right. I wanted to just talk more about the wisetechnician.com video. No, I'm just kidding. okay. I just got a few. I haven't been doing a ton of jobs over the last month because, yeah, we just talked about it, the videos and moving and all the rest, but I do have a couple.
Yeah.
So computer repair jobs. I went and so I got, had a customer of mine, pretty good customer. He does graffiti removal. So his whole business is, you know, he works probably, I'm assuming, with a lot of, you know, districts and things of that nature, small cities that would call him and say, hey, we've got graffiti written all over here. Can you please come and remove the graffiti? Anyways, he's a good customer of mine. I see him at least once a month. And he has Simply Accounting, not Simply Accounting. What's the other one? The big QuickBooks. Pardon me. He's QuickBooks installed on this computer, and it's Windows 7, and it's the computer I sold him. And every time he launches it, it launches, it goes, tries to start, and boom, crashes to the desktop. So he calls QuickBooks to try and get some technical support. And they said, we have no idea what's wrong. You're going to have to just uninstall QuickBooks and hope your data isn't lost and reinstall it. Damn. Right? Yeah. So after 3 hours, that's what they told him. So he's like, well, I can't do that. So he calls me. I'm like, oh, yeah, no, we can fix that. I have no idea what to do because, you know, that's obviously just what everyone says. Yeah, we can fix that. So I drive out there and I take a look. And sure enough, as soon as you started it up, QuickBooks fires up. It tries to start. It almost gets loaded. Boom, crashes to the desktop. I go online, search Google. And I got to tell you, if you type in QuickBooks crashing.
Oh, man.
There's.
I've done that. I've been there.
It's a never ending supply of things to try. I tried the first four or five, you know, Google links and tried the thing and nothing. And I said, okay, well, this is just, we're going nowhere fast. And one of my favorite things to do, and I'm sure your guys is too, is I love to, if it's not a huge deal, is just to create a new user profile and transfer everything over.
Totally.
So first thing I did, just to make sure that was going to fix it, is I took his QuickBooks data, I saved it to a USB hard drive, created a new user, opened QuickBooks, pointed it to the new QuickBooks data folder, boom, QuickBooks opened beautifully. Perfect, great. Problem solved, but not really, because you have to move over Outlook and everything over. So no big deal. I just went back to the old profile, used Fabs to back up the entire profile.
Really?
Fabs auto backup, yep. Then went over to the new profile, recovered everything with Fabs, except his QuickBooks data, because I had already done that. So, but everything else, Outlook, everything. The whole job, everything was done within an hour, and everything was working. And he hadn't lost a stitch of data. And he's like, wow, so much faster, because it's a new profile, right? It's not right. All the bloat and garbage.
Right.
And everything just went perfect. I love that fix. I love the new user fix.
Yeah.
It's just so simple and so easy in Windows 7. Anyways, it's a really, really nice fix. And I think the profiles just get corrupted somehow or something. I don't quite know why that's such a good fix, but it really does work. And with the help of Fabs, makes it a pretty simple job.
I used to do that without Fabs, and I love that fix. And I'm good job on doing that, man. That is what I was thinking when you were talking about QuickBooks acting up. Because you brought me back and I remember jobs I did with that. Yeah, starting a new user is like, it's almost like doing a reinstall of sometimes. It's like that clean of, you go from that messed up of a user account to a brand new clean one. That's a great fix.
Totally.
Yeah. But I said, I can only imagine how cool it would be with Fabs.
oh, so fast, right? It's like push a button, sit, talk to the customer, does everything, boom. Because always the biggest pain is moving Outlook over, and it doesn't bring over whatever that full file name is, the NFZ file or whatever, the one that the autocomplete file. But Fabs does all that, and you're like, oh, woohoo! And to the customer, it just works perfectly, and you're like, oh, that is fantastic. I love that. I love that fix. That's one of my favorite.
Good one.
Yeah, so that's one. So next one, another decent customer of mine, residential customer, calls her daughter's laptop. The screen won't go on. I'm not a huge laptop repair guy. I fix software stuff, not hardware stuff. I don't rip stuff apart. I don't change screens. I don't reball. I don't resolder. You know, it's the other guys can do that stuff. That's just, I'm not interested in that. But anyway, she's a good customer. So I said, okay, well, I'll take a look. I know how to do, not reballing, don't get me wrong, I know how to do like screen replacements and stuff like that. I just don't want to. So I can if I have to. So anyways, I brought the computer back to my shop and the screen was actually turning on. That wasn't the problem. What the problem was, is I was getting almost like a bad TV back in the day, you know, the lines across it and you can't really see anything. It just kind of gets fuzzy and sort of shaky on the screen.
Right.
And so first thing in my head, I thought, oh, that's a bad graphics card. That was my first thought process or first thought, because it did have a built-in graphics card.
So I
put a Ubuntu CD in just to test. And sure enough, same problem. Throw out Ubuntu.
Shaky, fuzzy graphics?
It wasn't shaky, fuzzy graphics. It was more like lines across it.
Colored lines?
Yeah, colored lines across it.
And they were not moving, right?
They were not moving. No, well, but it seemed like they were moving. But I think that was just because that was what I was seeing on the screen was moving.
I gotcha.
But yeah, they maybe weren't shaking as such. They were just colored bars and colored marks across it.
Yeah.
And so I put an Ubuntu CD in, same problem. It didn't go away. So without going any farther, it was a cheap laptop too. It was like a Toshiba, you know, $499 special or $549 special. It was 5 years old. Without going too much farther, I told her, you know, I don't think we should go much farther on this one here. It doesn't seem like it's software to me. Would you agree? It's probably not software.
Yeah, it sounds like a screen replacement to me. Were the lines there even on boot up in the BIOS and everything?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bad screen. That's all.
Bad screen, yeah. So I tell people on that, you know, you could probably get it fixed. We could take it somewhere else. Again, I don't do this stuff, but you're going to be into it for $250. That's around about in my area. That's what you're going to pay even for a screen replacement is around $250. I know sometimes some other guys do it a little cheaper, $150, but give or take it's $250. So anyways, she's like, oh, I'm not spending that kind of money yet. I wouldn't spend any more than $150 on this machine. And I said, no, we don't want to do that anyways. It's kind of a piece of crap. It was, again, it was about a 3 or 4 year old Toshiba. Yeah. Anyways, I don't fix those machines that are really the real cheap machines. Other people can do that. That's not what I'm interested in. So I told her, you know, you can take that somewhere else. She said, no. Okay. I said, well, why don't you buy a new one? She said, okay, well, I'm going to go to Best Buy or Future Shop, buy a new one. I said, okay, fair enough. Hung up the phone. That was the end of it. She called me back and she says, oh, I found this laptop at Future Shop. Future Shop is like our Best Buy.
Yeah.
And it was a Toshiba or a HP, one of the two, I can't remember. And it was around $679, somewhere in that area. Mm-hmm. And she said, is this a good computer? It's like a 15.4-inch, you know, HP special. You know, those ones they say Beats by Dr. Dre on them, like they're garbage, right? And I'm like, no, that's not really a good computer. And she's like, oh, well, can you get me anything similar? And I said, well, I know you're concerned about price, so I can't match that price. I can't do $679, but I can get you a really nice Lenovo laptop, 14-inch, so it'll be great for your daughter at university. It's got a Core i5 processor, 500 gigs of RAM, or 500 gig hard drive, 4 gigs of RAM, Windows 7, comes with a 2-year warranty from Lenovo for $750. She said, oh, that's more than this. I'm like, yeah, but in 3 years, you're not going to be coming back to me with the same problem like you had with the Toshiba. It's a much, much better laptop. She hums and haws and finally says, okay, that sounds good. I'd rather have it from you. I'll take it. And the data recovery on the old computer is $179. So I recover data from the old computer and put it onto this person's computer. The reason I'm telling this whole story was, you know, I charged a little bit more. She got a much better laptop. And I did data recovery for $179 off the old laptop. So the whole bill came out to be about $950. And the laptop cost me $530 from my supplier. So I made $400 on a new computer sale, a laptop computer sale. On most people wouldn't have sold her that and probably would have said, go to buy it from Best Buy. That $679 one sounds good. You don't need to do that. There's lots of ways to buy these laptops and make money on it. Even if you have to buy them at Best Buy, because I just got a flyer the other day from them with, you know, all sorts of great prices, great sale prices on laptops. You know, go buy one or two from them and stock them. You know, keep a couple in stock. I had this Lenovo laptop in stock. It was sitting in my, I was looking right at it. It's exactly what she needed. So there's no reason why we shouldn't hold a few of these laptops. And I've heard on this podcast many a time guys saying, oh, I don't sell a customer's laptop. I tell them to go buy them somewhere else. And that is just the wrong thing to do. Make sure you stock the odd laptop and the odd desktop, like one or two of each in there. You know, it's only going to cost you a couple $1,000 to do that. And you're not going to make a ton of money on them, but we're, you're going to make all your money on that data recovery. This customer didn't end up buying antivirus for me. They just went for the free antivirus. But that's another way you could have, you could have sold them and made a little bit of money on it. It's really easy. A really easy way for me to turn in a broken computer and a non-sale into a sale.
I got you.
And it doesn't take a lot. You know, it's very simple.
No, that's good. But I have to ask you, why did you let her go to Best Buy in the first place?
So I always do the exact same thing. I tell, if people go, oh, I want a really, really cheap laptop. I go, okay, well, I don't sell really, really cheap laptops. The cheapest laptop I have is about $699. Oh, okay, that's too much. Okay, fair enough. When you go to Best Buy or Future Shop, just call me from there, from your cell, and I'll tell you if it's a good laptop or not.
Gotcha.
I'll give you free advice. I won't charge you anything for that. You're a good customer of mine. I don't mind doing that for you. And that works, I would say, 7 out of 10 times. They will 7 out of 10 times they will call me from the store that they bought it, they're looking at it at, and ask if it's any good. Because you got to remember, these guys at Future Shop are, or I'll start saying Best Buy, these guys at Best Buy are kind of slimy and people don't really like them very much. So when your customers go in there and start talking to these people, talking to the sales guys there, they're not going to like them more likely.
Right.
They're going to like you a lot more. And it'll just prove to them that the extra $50 they're going to pay with you is just so worthwhile.
Right.
Plus, let them talk to the Geek Squad and tell them, oh, yes, $259 for us to, you know, what do? They do like a PC tune-up on a brand new computer and all this other stuff that they do, right? So for my computers, the $750 computer that I sell includes all the decrapification.
Yes.
I just build that at the price so I don't look like I'm a slime ball and I'm adding it into the cost, right? Because that just looks awful when you say, oh, you're buying this brand new computer, plus you need to do, you know, you need to remove all the stuff that comes with it and get Geek Squad approved or whatever the heck they call it there. It just looks awful. It's worse than selling an extended warranty, right? People are just like, all of a sudden, like, oh, no, that's terrible. I don't want that.
Right. I actually bought a computer that had the, I forget what they called it, like setup or something like that from Geek Squad, only because it was the only one they had left. They were advertising this awesome laptop for $399. It was a Samsung like quad core laptop. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to get that. And I went there and it said it was in stock and I was excited and there was 8 left. So I'm like, yes, 8 left. They were all opened by the Geek Squad and they performed their little whatever they do on them. And some of them, they added antivirus. Some of them, they made the recovery CDs. And sometimes these computers come with the recovery CDs, but they make them anyway. It's nuts. And so I said, look, man, I don't want all that stuff. You don't have any unopened computers? He's like, well, I'll sell you this for the normal price, and I won't charge you for what the stuff we did to it. And I was even more hesitant to buy that because I felt my computer was tainted. Somebody touched it. You know what I mean? Somebody touched my brand new computer and did things to it before I did. And I really was uncomfortable with that, but I did it anyway. It turned out okay.
I've done the same thing. I had an Acer that I was buying for a customer and I went into a Best Buy and I'm like, okay, I need this computer. You have it on for $399. Oh yeah. No, the only two we have, the Geek Squad is touch. I'm like, I don't want to pay any more for any of that. Okay, well, we'll sell you the same price. Okay, I brought it home. It still had like at least 2 months worth of Windows updates to do and the Norton crapware trial version on it. I was like, what did they actually do then?
I know.
They just opened it up, looked at it, and slapped the battery on.
I actually did a complete restore when I took it home. I tried it out for like a couple hours. I'm like, you know what? I don't trust this. I'm just wiping it. And I just wiped it.
I like that.
And screen repairs on laptops are very easy. I know you say you don't want to do them, but do you think that they would? I mean, what about a tech that does enjoy it? Would you recommend that they do it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. If it's a good way to make some money, fantastic. I like the idea. I really do. I just don't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
But that is definitely on my list of things to do. What the first tech that I hire, I will start doing screen replacements, DC jacks. And that's probably it. You know, besides, I do the basic other stuff, you know, like obviously batteries, RAM, hard drive, all that stuff. That's all simple. But I will start doing it because it's a great way to make some money. I'm just busy on, I would find that would be for a road tech. It's too much time because I'd have to go pick up the laptop, bring it back to my shop, order the part, put the part in, make sure it's working, drive it back to the customer, drop it off. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
But To if you have a retail store, there's no doubt you should do it. You should do everything in a retail store if someone's bringing it to you, because that's saved. There's so much time saving on that.
Right, right. Totally.
Because on a screen replacement, I'd have to flat rate it. No way you'd get like, you know, the actual hourly rate on it, plus the driving time. So it's just not worth it.
I gotcha.
But yeah, definitely. That's on my long list of things that one day in my business plan I'd like to do is to open up a small little, I really would love to one day open up like a small kiosk, like not even like on a busy road, but not even a full shop. It's pretty much would be all counter to the customer. And then in the back would be just all like a whole bunch of computers being repaired and very little retail location, just enough to have a whole bunch of printers and a whole bunch of software and just real high profit margin stuff. But that's it, really small, and have one tech in there. That's all he does all day is customers drop off stuff to him, and then he sells the basic things up front to the customer. But other than that, it would just be one massive, you know, sort of fixing warehouse kind of thing.
Right, right. That's cool.
One day I would love to do that, and it is on my business plan, but today isn't that day quite yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else you got going on?
Okay, another one.
Don't worry about content, because I got a bunch of emails too we can read.
Okay, cool. I don't have a lot of content this week, guys. I'm really sorry. I just, again, moving and it's just been crazy. But I got one more. This was a cool one. I really like this one. So the area I live in and the area I live in now, and this is where I want to work and this is where I have been working, is probably the most wealthy area in, I hesitate in saying North America, but it's pretty close. It's a very, very rich area. Anyways, I was in this house, a gigantic mansion. Thing was huge, brand new, gorgeous. Maybe not a mansion. Maybe I would say in the neighborhood of 6,000 square feet. So pretty big house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm there. And he says his outlook, every time he starts, it crashes. And I'm like, okay, I come out and see him. He's a decent customer. I've seen him once before. Not a good customer. Went up, opened it, and it crashed as it opens it. Outlook 2003. I go look at his PST file, you know, 16 gigs. Holy crap. Okay, well, there's a reason everything's crashing. It's this PST file, 16 gigs, is just too much. You know, it can't be that big. Outlook just chokes, especially 2003. I think the maximum it says is supposed to be is like 2 gigs or 4 gigs or something like that. Well,
and then it should limit it. I hate that PST file.
It's brutal. So anyways, I ran the PST repair tool, blah, blah, blah. And Outlook finally opened it. And so right away, we archived like, I forget what it was, maybe I think it was at least 10 gigs worth of stuff we archived right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was working a little better. And I said, you got to go through all this and archive more. We need to, you know, archive it all, get that PST file down to, you know, 1 or 2 gigs. Okay, good. So that problem's fixed. Great, great. You know, that took me about an hour and a half to do everything. Okay, fantastic. As I'm sitting there just chatting with this guy, because he's a real interesting guy, and I always like talking to the wealthy and getting their, you know, what they have to say and how they make money and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I pick their brains always. Anyway, his wife walks in with her iPad. And she goes, honey, I'm sick of this. I can never get internet on the other end of the house. And he went, oh, I forgot all about that. Can you help her with that? And I was like, oh, this is great. Right. So I walk over to the other end of the house. Sure enough, she has one bar and it's cutting in and out on her iPad. And, you know, the iPad actually has a really, really good wireless antenna in it. So this shows you how big the house was. It's a long way away. And I was like, oh, this is great. I have a perfect fix for this. And I do. And I've done this in about three or four houses. And this is the fix. It's very, very simple and a great way to make tons of money. You get power over Ethernet over power adapters, these little adapters that you plug, they plug into power line, regular power outlets into the house. Mm-hmm. And you plug one in one corner of the house that has the internet connection. And then you plug in your wire from the router into this. And then you walk over to the other end of the house and plug the other one into the other power outlet and make sure there's a connection. And 9 out of 10 times there will be without you doing anything. It is really quite amazing how well these work. And you get about 200 megabits a second, which is pretty good. You know, it's fast enough. They're not doing file transfer. Just want to surf the internet. And then you make sure you have all this stuff in stock. You have an Airport Express in your van. And so they're just going to take up one exact power outlet because you need the bottom power for the power over Ethernet box and the other power outlet for the Apple Airport Express.
Yeah.
And then you plug the cable in and boom, you've created a fully solid brand new connection for this customer. That is 2.4 gigahertz and perfect for their iPad and their iPhone. So at the other end of the house, they have a super, super awesome connection to the internet. And I did this and it takes me, so I bill an hour for it. It takes me about 25 minutes. The parts cost me, there's no way of getting around the $99 for the Airport Express unless you buy them refurbished from Apple. Fine, you can do that. I don't, I just pay the $99 for the Airport Express. And then I get the power over Ethernet adapters. I usually either get D-Link or Trend, I think it's TrendNet or TrendNet.
Yeah.
Ones. And they're $69. And I charge $150 for those. And $99 for the Apple one because I can't charge any more for that. So I've made so far about $79 on the power of Ethernet and 1 hour at $89. So I've made $160 for 30 minutes worth of work. And if you call that work, I mean, it's plug in, wait, connect iPad, connect iPhone. Okay, it works. Fantastic. And it's a super fast, solid internet connection where they don't have to pay for a secondary internet connection. And this works in a big house, small house. If there's like weird, some people, you go into their houses and there's like, you know, weird walls in a house that just, some wireless is just messy. I just don't totally understand it, I guess. And some places you go and wireless is working perfect. And other places you go, for some reason, one room doesn't have it. And you're like, I don't understand why the wireless doesn't make it through to that other room.
Yeah, that's weird.
But it, you know, it is what it is, right? So these are just a great little kit. The customer is stoked because now they have super fast internet and their iPhone wasn't working at there either. They were on 3G. So you just tell them, well, I just saved you all this money on your data too. You're no longer going to be using your 3G connection because you had no wireless. Now they're rich. So it's not the end of the, they weren't, they're just happy that everything's super fast, right? The money really wasn't that a big deal to them. And again, I made, you know, $150, $160 for very little work. The key to that is there's two things. One is I was going to say if that customer hadn't have walked in, that was the perfect solution and said, my iPad is working. The first thing I would have said before I wrote up the bill to the customers, is there any other problems in your house that I can help you solve when it comes to your computers? And hopefully that would have triggered him to go, oh, my wife's iPad.
Right.
Now, I didn't have to do that because his wife walked in. The key, though, is to make sure you have those parts. Because if you have to come back, they go, well, let us think about it. But if you have it then and there and go, I can get this done right now, they'll be like, oh, yeah, go ahead, do it. Because they want it done. They're frustrated. They're mad. They're thinking about it that day and time.
So you stock them? You stock them?
I do. I stock actually two sets of power over Ethernet. I call them power over Ethernet. I don't even know if that's right. It's probably.
I think it is, according to a network engineer in the chat.
Okay, good. So power over Ethernet is what I call them. And I always stock two of the Airport Expresses because I actually sell lots of those. They're a great little device if someone has a problem with their wireless, if they have a really old router and the wireless is dead, but I just say, hey, you can have one of two ways. We can sell you a new router or I can sell you a Airport Express, whatever you want to do, and just turn off their wireless in their router and it just becomes a router and then plug in an Airport Express. And one thing, you know, I can say, everyone can say a lot of things about Apple, but they're actually, their networking stuff has the strongest antennas I've ever used out of anything. They're really, really good. So they're expensive, $100, but yeah,
I have an Airport Express. It's killer. It's super solid. It gets hot. Mm-hmm. Don't put it on like a carpet, like elevate it a little bit. But other than that, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Great little devices. You'll find yourself lots when you, so the thing is, I find if I don't have it on me, I won't sell it. If I have it with me, I try and sell it. So if I know it's in my car, I'll go, oh boy, that's in my car and it's been sitting a while and it's dead stock. I'll try and sell it. I'll look around and try and figure out a way to sell that to the customer.
Right. Kind of like if you have food in the fridge, you're going to eat it.
That's right. You're going to figure out a recipe that takes, you know, red cabbage, right? Or purple cabbage, right? You're going to go, I don't really like that, but boy, I should eat it. So, I mean, this all comes back to, and not to be a big, massive commercial, but if that at all made any sense to you at all, there is 10 times, probably 20 times those kind of tips in the videos that I make. And those are just small little tasters for you. And there are so many tips like that in these videos that if you found that is going to be a successful way to make you some more money, I promise, just watch these videos. They'll be awesome.
Guaranteed.
That's right. 60-day guarantee.
Awesome, man. Well, that was great stuff. It's a great stuff. Every time I listen to you talk, I'm like, Chris should have his own podcast, I think to myself. All right. Email time?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I keep flashing to you as you're taking a drink, so I'll try to be cautious of that. All right. All right. The first one's from... Now, I have a backlog of emails. I'm not sure if we read them on the show or not. I'm just going to go through what I have here. This goes back to January, this one. It's from Dan from ACRBO, the Association for Computer Repair Business Owners. It's acrbo.com. I was just having an email conversation with him, and he said in passing in the email, and I wanted to throw it out to you guys, that ACRBO did a massive upgrade on their site in January. If you guys haven't been to ACRBO, go there, check it out, sign up, and become a member. I mean, there's no reason why you shouldn't if you're a computer repair business owner. Plus, he has a monthly magazine he releases now, and it's a killer site. So check out the new ACRBO if you haven't done it yet, and thank you, Dan. Next is from Fab from Fab's Auto Backup. We did talk about this. I'm going to say it again because we brought it up on this show. Fab tells me that he just released updates for Auto Backup 3 and Auto Backup 4 technicians. At the moment, this is, let's see, blah, blah, blah. I'm not sure if he's still offering a 25% discount at this time when he wrote this email. In January, he did. So check those out. Get the updates, the updated releases for Auto Backup 3 and Auto Backup for Techs, and you will be happy to get that 25% off or not. It's worth it.
Okay, I got to say two things. You know what? If save up some money and you need about $130 you need to buy Fab's Auto Backup and Wise Technician videos. Because those two things, if you don't have Fab's, I don't know what you're even doing in this business. That is the greatest tool I've ever purchased. And, you know, there's one thing that people know about me. I've purchased a lot of tools. So buy that thing. It is awesome.
And you know what? I'm an idiot. Because if you go to podnuts.com/deals, let me see. I know I offer a discount. I think it's only 10%. If he doesn't have the 20% on the deals page there, there is 10% discount at podnuts.com/deals. So you can check it out there. It's under...
Even if he does give 20%, just take 10% and buy it at podnuts.com/deals.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. All right. This next one is from Aaron. He says, I thought you'd get a kick out of this. Oh, yeah, I definitely showed this before. It's a router full of bees. Gross.
Oh, my gosh.
There's like 100 dead bees in this router. It's, if you want to check out the picture, it's imgur.com/YDO4J. Check it out.
That is so cool.
All right. Now we might get to some we haven't read yet. Let's see. This is from John. He says, a repair tip. Use hot glue to build up rubber like feet when the laptop or battery feet are missing. It works great. See example at the link below. Do you ever get those laptops that just don't sit right because one of the rubber feet are missing?
Yeah, all the time. My laptops usually after, you know, well, I don't keep them anymore that long. But yeah, sometimes you do. It drives you crazy. And you look down, you're like, oh, that little rubber foot's missing. What do you do?
I know. Apparently hot glue is a good fix for that. And there's a picture of it. I never used it. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Good one. Good tip from John. Appreciate it. All right. And this is another one from another Dan. He says, I found your site a few days ago. I really enjoy listening to the podcast. I learned some new tricks and tips also. I'm currently listening to all your podcasts to see if I could find the issue below. Here it is. Here's the issue. Do you have a podcast that covers what techs do when they do a virus removal for a customer, and then a few days later, the customer brings back the computer and it's reinfected? I would like to know how others handle this. Do they recharge the customer? Also, I would like to know what other people do when they install a new hard drive on a computer and it fails in less than a year. Do they charge the customer for a new hard drive and for labor of reinstalling the OS? These are issues I run into every once in a while and always wanted to know how others react to this. Well, of course, I send them to the Podnuts forums, which I do almost all the time when somebody has questions that where he wants to know what a group of people think about the issue. But since we got Chris on, first off, Chris, what do you do when a computer is reinfected almost immediately after you clean it up for a customer?
It depends on the customer. So first thing I do, every single customer, not every other one, that I do a virus removal, I say, I give them two options. One is, would you like me to remove the virus and just do it right here, right now? It took me about an hour and a half to 2 hours. And there's maybe a 2 or 3% chance that you could get reinfected almost right away. Or I can do a full format and reinstall and you won't get reinfected right away. If they say, yes, I rather the one, you know, the small percentage, just do it that way. That I do, and I warn them that it can get reinfected because there's no way I can know exactly what the coder that made this virus did, nor can I be sure that every tool I ran got every single thing out of it. I tell them that right off the bat. So if you tell them that right off the bat, then when they bring it back 3 days later, you get to make the call. And I make the call based on how the customer is. If the customer comes back and is really nice and is a good customer of mine, what I will do if they did not pay for paid antivirus, I'll say, I will do the job for free if you buy paid antivirus from me right now, because obviously we need more antivirus than you have.
Right.
And then they go, okay. So then I make at least $50 more on the antivirus. If they did buy the paid antivirus from me and they got reinfected right away, I will do it for free. It just is what it is. I just do it. It's a cost of doing business. You're not going to win them all.
Gotcha.
But what I usually will say is, if this doesn't work or if I have lots of problems, we are formatting and reinstalling, and then it's a full charge. What I do is charge the difference. So I charge anywhere from, let's just say I charge the customer $139 to remove the virus. If I do it for free the next time they bring it in and they get infected again, then I will charge them another $80 to do a format and reinstall.
I gotcha.
Because at that point, it's the system's probably hooped anyways. We got double infections and it's just not a good idea. In my opinion, you can never be 100% sure. Just format and reinstall on the hard drive. I have it just normal. This is just business practice. If you go to anywhere else, this is just the way it is. Labor is 90 days. Parts are 1 year. If a hard drive dies before the 1 year, if it's 91 days, they get a free hard drive with my labor to reinstall.
I gotcha.
Is what it is.
All right. Awesome, man. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Next one is, a voicemail from Google Voice. Google Voice. Let me fire up the voicemail playing machine. And here we go.
Hi, this is Mark from Home Computer Health. I am HCH Tech in the forums. I'm listening to an old Podnut show, and there was a all talking about keeping wireless passwords for your customers, and I thought I would let you know what I do. For my business customers, the ones on retainer, I do keep them. I also make sure that at least one other person at the company has the list. For my residential customers, I do not keep them, but for every time I set up a wireless router or a domain or a new email address or anything else that requires information like that, I create a file in the documents folder of the main computer and make it an obvious name wireless settings or domain settings or Verizon settings or email settings, whatever it is, and record the information there. That way, if a customer calls me and wants to know what his wireless password is, I just direct him to that file, and he can get the information he needs without me having to record it or remember what it was. So there you go. Thanks.
Thank you, Mark, for the voicemail. Much appreciated.
That you know what is, I do?
That's interesting. Yes.
I'm going to tell you what I do. I do the exact same thing as he does for businesses. For residential, I started this. I carry around, I went and bought Avery stickers, you know, like they're like,
labels,
the mails. Yeah. Labels. Yeah. That are for like, envelopes. So you put on people's addresses on, and I carry those in my bag. And when I create the SSID and the password for the customer, I write it down on the label. I flip the router over. I put the label on the bottom. I flip the router back. Go. It's on the bottom of your router if you ever need it.
Nice. Nice. Mark, I appreciate the voicemail, but I would probably do something. I didn't even think of doing what Chris does. That's awesome. But I would be hesitant to create a folder on the person's computer that basically would lead any hacker straight to the information that is needed. You know what I mean? Like, it's like putting a file on your computer called passwords or something like that. I would just be more cautious. I don't know. I would just be a little hesitant to do that. It just seems like it would. It could be if their anybody ever did get in their computer, they could get some information that maybe they shouldn't get.
I agree. Odds are they're probably not going to, but yeah, I don't know what the right answer, because even my answer is insecure, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to be in the person's house to see it at least.
Yeah, I guess at that point. But the same thing, if there was a text file on the person's computer, you know, a hacker. You know, when was the last virus we saw that a hacker like took over the computer and had like remote access on seeing the customer's computer and going in and finding that passwords file and double clicking on it, right? That doesn't happen very often either.
Yeah, you're right. Good point.
But still, I know what you're saying. Both of them, I mean, ideally, you know, customer, remember your damn password. And how hard is this? But it is hard, I guess. So I don't know what the correct answer is. Steve Gibson at GRC would probably be cursing us right now if he heard that we do either one of the solutions we came up with. But you have to do something. I mean, your customer, I can't remember them all. I don't want to be in charge of them. I don't want to have a file on my computer. So
yes, I know. Well, then maybe Mark, it was a pretty good idea. But if we all did what Steve Gibson did, we'd probably still be back on Windows 2000. You know what I mean? Yeah, totally. He's a little too far, you know?
Yeah, with 64 key hexadecimal passwords that take 4 hours to put into your Apple TV, and you go, oh man, I missed one of them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. This is from Luis. I had a customer that has a laptop with a password on the BIOS and a password on the operating system. I already removed the laptop BIOS, but now it says to enter the hard drive password, and I already tried to connect in one of the SATA cables, and that system doesn't boot. It says there is a locked hard drive. Also, I tried to connect it after Windows 7 is loaded, and the computer doesn't recognize it. And also, I tried Hirons. Any idea? Thanks. Hope to hear from you soon again. Thanks. And also, I can't access to my account in the Podlets forum. I read it like that because he didn't put any punctuation in the last paragraph. I handled his Podlets forum problem, but BIOS password, he already got past that. He probably just popped the battery to get past the BIOS password. Operating system password, I mean, you could use that, what's it called, Conboot. I can't remember the name of it. It was something like registry and something, and it basically finds your password. It's like some, I got to think of the name, I totally forget. But if it's an actual hard drive password, those are a little different. I know Dell had some of their computers that used to be set up with that. It was like the white screen of death. I got past that by actually doing a short on one of the chips on the motherboard with a paperclip to get past that one. Other than that, I don't know how to get past a hard drive password. You have anything on this, Chris?
No, I remember hearing what's your hard drive die guy talking about this long, long time ago, and oh, it was like send in the hard drive to the manufacturer and they may be able to do it. But yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Anybody in the chat room have anything on that? No, okay. All right, well, Luis, glad I helped you with the pod to get you access to the Podnuts forum, because those guys probably have better answers than I do. Next is from John. He says, hello, I've started to listen to your show, and you all seem very knowledgeable in computer repair. My question is twofold. First, can any of you recommend a good online computer repair course? I've been tinkering with computers for about 20 years, but I know I need more knowledge in it, but I can't go to a school to get an A-plus certificate, and I don't have the $1,200 most of them are asking for. Is it even necessary? Seems like most people are self-taught. I'll be 56 soon, so I won't need to make a career out of it, but I just need to learn troubleshooting skills. How did you all start? Also, which computers do you find the easiest to work on? I'm an AC mechanic, and I know some brands are pleasant to work on, while others I feel like tossing into a lake. So I'm assuming it's the same with computers. Thanks, all. You have a good and interesting show going on. From John. A good computer... I would definitely... go to ProfessorMesser.com and watch all the videos he has there. He's got them for free videos. I mean, you could buy the courses too and download them, but he's got tons of free information there. Highly recommend going there if you are interested in anything like resembling A plus or any type of other certificates. Let me answer this, Chris, and then I want to hear your feedback. I'm self-taught. I don't think you need to get certified unless, for what you're doing, John, and the way you said it, is you're not trying to make a career out of it, so I wouldn't go crazy with certs. If you wanted to become like a pro network administrator, then yeah, companies probably would have to see some certs to hire you. But for what you're doing, I did it perfectly fine just learning on the fly. I mean, Google is your friend. So check out Professor Messer, listen to all the Podnuts videos, buy the Podnuts laptop repair videos, get the Wise Technician videos. There's tons of stuff at podnuts.com/deals that'll help you. And that's for that. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, Professor Messer, man. He's got great stuff there if you want to learn certain stuff. But personally, I think the best way would be the way, this is how I would do it. I would, in my spare time, watch the Professor Messer videos. I would buy the Podnuts laptop repair videos. And then I would, on Craigslist, hunt down and eBay all the garbage broken PCs, ask your friends, send it on Facebook, hey, do you have an old PC kicking around in the back that you don't use, and just collect as much crap as you can and start ripping it apart and start trying to fix this really old garbage stuff. And what'll happen is you'll just figure it out. That's the way I did it. I didn't do what I just said. I just did it over a 15-year period of fixing people's computers. Just start fixing stuff. Just if you're an AC tech, and I assume that means air conditioning, then you know, that's actually my old background was appliance repair, which is refrigeration. So that's where I came from as well. And it was not it's an easy transition from air conditioning, and refrigerators are a lot harder to fix than computers are. Hardware wise, software wise, that's a whole different ball game. And that's where the Professor Messer stuff comes in.
Definitely. Good advice. Also we have in the chat room, Citizen X and Chai Helper.
It's Brytech.
Brytech. Go to Brytech on YouTube. Brytech.
He's awesome. Yeah, great, great. Brytech is awesome.
Yes, and he's got awesome virus removal videos there.
Yep.
Also, what computers do you find easiest to work on? Gosh. Desktops, to me, they're all the same. Laptops, yep. Dells were pleasant in my day. This is 3 or 4 years ago. Dells were pleasant. Toshibas were pleasant for me. Sonys were a nightmare. I didn't like Lenovos back then. HPs, some were good, some weren't. But for the most part, they were tougher. That was back then. I don't know what's going on right now. What do you think?
Yeah, desktops are desktops. 6 1/2 dozen the other. Every once in a while, you'll find a weird one to tear apart, but you'll figure it out. Yeah. Laptops, I have no idea. I don't bother.
Okay. All right. Thank you, John. Three more. Let's roll through them. We can do this. This is from Monty. Steve, you know the 2 to 3 year old Toshibas that always have the jacks break away from the little slots in the case? I just fixed one in a way that is very permanent. I took a PCI slot bank and used two pairs of needle nose pliers to bend it into the shape of a squared off U with the top of the arms bent outward. It took a bit of adjusting and a tiny bit of trimming with the Dremel tool, but in just a few minutes I had it fitting really tightly in there. I did have to Dremel a slot for the wires to pass through. Then I assembled everything and filled the U with hot glue, which once hardened, filled all the gaps and locked it all in place. I swear I could hit the plug with a hammer now and it wouldn't budge. Just thought I'd pass it along. And that's from Monty. I would like to see a picture of that. That's from Fat Geek, Monty the Fat Geek. Is it Fat
Geek? You guys are awesome. You guys spend so much time doing that awesome stuff. I'm researching a boxy box right now, so that's a lot of work for me.
I know. I could just picture Chris when I was reading this being like, wow, that's nuts. I will never do anything like that.
No, that sounds hardcore. But good for you guys for doing it. I'm impressed. That just seems like a lot of work.
Yeah. I remember doing those types of repairs.
Yeah, it sounds like fun though. You must feel good afterwards, like you like actually accomplished something, like a MacGyver.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. You feel like MacGyver. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Exactly it. Thank you, Monty. Good one on that. Definitely send us a picture, put it in the forums.
I like that too.
Jason writes me a book here. Let me see if I can get through it. You had a listener email about a CQ56 screen replacement, and he was saying he had to do a 2-hour disassembly to replace the screen. I just wanted to let you know you don't have to take the laptop apart like that to replace the screen. The trick is to have the right screwdriver and flex the hinge just a little bit. I've replaced several of these, and I really refuse to disassemble the laptop that much. And all you need to remove and put back the screw covers is a pocket knife. To put them back, I stick them on the very tip of the knife, and I hold it over where it goes. Then use another flat object to push them into place. To put back the screws, I use a long nose pliers and hold them so they line up with the hole, and then use a screwdriver to screw them in. It's not super easy, but I would rather spend 10 minutes putting in two screws rather than 2 hours of taking the thing apart and putting it back together. Also, you had someone ask about a return on a virus repair and hard drive. So here's what our company does. We repair over 150 computers a month in our shop. So to prevent return to customers in the first place, all of our techs have 35 item checklists that we do with all computers. This checklist is derived from proven methods we have developed over the years. However, the list is always evolving. But when we do remove viruses and we get one that is reinfected with viruses, we always take care of it again, for it's been within 2 weeks. But what we do to fix the second time is a wipe and reload. The reason for this is we tell the customer that the only 100% way we can be sure no more viruses exist is a wipe and reload, and we can assure them after the wipe and reload, there are no viruses. This method provided two solutions and sets your customers' expectations. The two solutions are the customer's computer is virus-free, and two, you keep yourself from getting the computer back again and again. I got to make the text bigger on this. Hang on. One more time. There you go. All right. Where was I? Getting again and again. Because you set the customer's expectations by assuring them there would be no chance of it having a virus when they get it back the second time. This way they have in their mind that it's not going to have any viruses. And now if it gets infected again, you can tell them you wiped and reloaded it, like you said, and it was 100% virus free. So now I can clean it up again, but I will have to charge you again. Now, as far as the hard drives are concerned, as long as I can get a replacement drive by returning the damaged hard drive under warranty, we just go ahead and we put a new drive in the computer and reload the computer. If we have refurbished hard drives from a previous warranty repair, we use a refurbished hard drive to replace the damaged hard drive, since we would be getting a refurbished hard drive in return for their damaged hard drive anyways. If we don't have a refurbished drive, we just use a new drive, since it takes 2 weeks for the turnaround on the warranty claim. Then after the customer gets the computer back, I wait 2 weeks and then send the drive in for warranty exchange. The 2-week waiting period assures that the customer has a chance to use their computer and see if we missed any files in the data copy. Of course, this is if you can get data from the drive. We charge labor to reload Windows, and we do the work after 90 days. If the drive fails for the 90 days, we do the job completely free of charge. You have to have some cutoff on doing the job for free and charging for it. This ensures good customer service, and I have never had a complaint in the past 11 years operating this way. Hope this helps the people that emailed in about these issues. This is the way our company does things, and it may not be for everyone, but we have done it this way for 11 years and have had great success. Thanks, Jason from UnboundDigital.net. Thanks a lot, Jason. Sorry I rolled through that quickly, but I think it communicated, and I hope everybody understood, and I hope it helped people. Jason, highly recommend you put that in the forums, too, because that's good stuff. Chris, yep. you got anything on this before we go to the last one?
Nope. Oh. Jason just said what I said, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Good job, Jason.
All righty. Last one is from Adrian. This is the complete opposite in length compared to Jason's. This is, hi, Steve. Do you know if repairing tablet PCs is similar to repairing a laptop or a netbook? Regards, Adrian. No, completely different. It's completely different. Tablets are just
like a phone, right?
Yeah, like a phone. Yeah. I've never opened a tablet. I've seen pictures of them opened. So I don't have the experience of opening them, but from what I've seen, they're just different. Different beasts, different, completely different machines. So
that sounds like a good business. That remember how I was talking about, I'd love to open up that small little shop. I would love to. That small little shop would be laptop repair, phone repair, tablet repair. Yeah, just all that simple little stuff like that.
Totally. That is where it's at. I mean, tablet repairs are going to be huge. Just they are. They have to be. I mean, you're seeing how many are being sold right now. They're going to break. People are not going to want to buy new ones. And if you could do it and make a profit on it, do it. That's what I say.
They're going to break like crazy, I guarantee. You know, your kid drops something on that tablet's game over.
Totally. I mean, laptops at least, they sit stationary. You put them on your lap. You put them on a table. Tablets, you like have, you hold in your hand, sometimes one hand, sometimes two hands. Your hands are slippery. You just like ate dinner. You ate chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken. You're holding your tablet. Boom, falls on the floor. I mean, they're going to break like crazy. And they're glass. I mean.
Yeah, it's crazy. At least a laptop has like plastic surrounding it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, an iPad is all glass with thin aluminum on the back.
Right.
It's game. I think you drop. I've never dropped it, knock on wood, but game over. It's game over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they could be repaired. I bet you they could be repaired too. And.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than buying a new
too.
One. Yeah.
I've heard you can buy screens for like $30 and you charge a customer $120 and they're pretty, sorry, even $130. They're pretty happy. Make $100. Takes no time at all.
Yeah.
William Tidwell. I think he's the guy for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Send William an email at liamtech.com.
Yeah.
Awesomeness. That is it for the emails. If anybody else wants to send us an email, do so because we will read it. And we will, if you want to send us a voicemail, we will play it. Emails go to mail@podnuts.com. If you want to send us a voicemail, call 7076-PODNUT on a phone, and we will get that, and we'll play it as well. Cool, man. That's about... We pretty much filled a show with all that stuff, Chris.
Sweet.
Anything you want to say to the folks before we end off?
Yeah. One last commercial. I'm sorry that this has just been one commercial, but, you know, I gotta sell this video, right? That's what it's all about, is selling the video. So, a couple things. One, if you haven't bought it... your problem. It's a 60-day money-back guarantee. You know what? If you don't like it, email me. That info@wisetechnician.com comes directly to me and go, Chris, this was stupid. I will not email you back. I will just refund your money. That simple. So just buy it. I promise you, you will love them. They will make you lots of money. My wife watched it even and she was like, wow, I didn't even know half of this stuff. And she's heard me yap about it for the last 10 years. So, you know, just buy them. And if you want, we're going to start doing some more fun stuff with it as well. So we're going to start sending out some free tips and maybe some small discounts on it as well. If you follow @WiseTechnician on Twitter. So again, @WiseTechnician. That's WiseTechnician on Twitter. And follow that. We're going to start pushing out a lot more content. Now that I'm moved, you're going to see a lot more about Wise Technician, and there's going to be some great new things coming down the pike on that. And you could just wait and see over the next couple of weeks.
Definitely. Like Chris said, videos are awesome. Check them out. Buy them. I don't need to add anything else to that. Thank everybody for watching Podnuts Daily, listening to Podnuts Daily, however you're getting the content on Podnuts Daily. Much appreciated. That's going to be it for this week. We'll see you next time. Music for Podnuts Daily brought to you by Evan King at purevolume.com/Evan King.